So Bible reading this morning is John chapter 10, and it's verses 1 to 11, and then verses 14 to 15. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And continue in verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep."
Thanks for that reading, John. Just to say a word of introduction, my name's Everton, and we've been coming to St. Francis for just over a year. I'm married to Jeanette. And we've been married 44 years next month. Yep, you can whoop that. And we have three amazing children and six fantastic grandchildren. You can whoop that as well if you like. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. I'm actually thinking about hearing from God, or how we hear God in worship. And it may seem from the title that we're talking about church services, because that's what most people think about worship. But actually, we're going to broaden it out. I had a conversation with Jean, and we're not going to speak specifically, or I'm not, about church services, because John, in his very first sermon on the theme of worship, he quoted the Shorter Westminster Catechism of 1647. And I'm sure you remember John's first sermon, the Shorter Westminster Catechism. And if I ask you now, I'm sure you could tell me what that is. But I won't embarrass you. But, yeah, you've got it. There was a collection of theologians and members of Parliament who at the time were restructuring the Church of England. And what they did was ask this question. What is the chief end of man? What is mankind, humankind? What are we about? And here was the answer. Man's chief aim is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Our chief aim is to worship God and glorify him forever, and worship him forever. And the thing about worship is, and this is why I'm not just talking about church services, worship is the whole of our lives. Everything that we do is about worship. I don't know whether you understand that or believe it. Sorry, is that too big to start with? Because I do think that sometimes we come to church, we have our hour on a Sunday, and we think, oh, we've worshipped, we go home, and we can get on with the rest of our lives. But actually, that's not the case. We worship in everything that we do. I didn't say at the start of the sermon of my talk is that my name's Everton, but I was actually not named after the football club. I was actually named after a great West Indian cricketer called Everton Weeks, who was named after the football club. Oh, is that his middle name? Oh, I never knew that. Where was I going? Who knows? I've gone off on one. I know. It's about worship the whole of our lives. I used to play rugby, and I was reasonably good at it, but I was too small, wasn't big enough. I could tackle really, really well, and I was quite quick. And when I came off the pitch, I realized that I did things on that pitch which were beyond myself. Does that make any kind of sense? And I learned from, seriously, I learned from an early age, even though I wasn't a Christian, that God was with me. And I learned from an early age that this was about worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Father, I pray that you speak to each of our hearts this morning in a way that is unique for each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. First thing to say about how do we hear from God is right in the beginning, Genesis, that we were created for a relationship with God. Adam and Eve were created by God for a relationship with God. And we know from the Bible that they were naked and unashamed before God. And I think that is more than just the symbolism of not having any clothes. I actually think naked and unashamed, what that means is that there was no barrier between them. Does that make sense? No barrier between them and God. They were naked and unashamed. No barrier at all. That's how God intends it to be. No barrier between us and him. They had the perfect relationship with God, and God would meet with them and he would speak with them. And we, and I don't know whether you believe this or not, must believe that we were created by God for a relationship with him. Because if we don't, that affects how we hear and what we hear. But the truth is, just do me a favor, will you? Sorry, I'm probably going to be on one today. Just stand up, will you? Just for a minute. So I hadn't planned this. Just turn around. What do you see? Windows. No, no, no. Look at people. Look at the people, not the windows. Look at people. What are these people like? Friends? Yeah, go. Say it. All different. Thank you. Listen, people. When I'm speaking, I like it to be a little bit interactive. So you can talk back to me, and it doesn't matter what you say. It's okay. I will use it and go with it, whatever you say. But when you look around, wonderful people, aren't you? Oh, come on. Give me a break. Sit down. Are you finding this embarrassing? Is it our Englishness and our politeness? But what, is it our Englishness and politeness? Well, let me tell you this. Elsie's thinking, I'm English, I'm very polite, but this is about God, and this is about the things of God. Now, the things of God trump Britishness. We are created for a relationship with God, and that is paramount to know, because in a relationship, it's about hearing and speaking. I've been married nearly 44 years, and I've learned to listen. No, it took a long time. What I'm trying to say is, no, I'm not saying that Jeanette speaks all the time and I don't. What I've learned is to listen to what she's saying. And one of the reasons I've learned is because sometimes she would say to me, what have I just said? That's always a deal breaker. I've no idea, love. But I've learned to listen. And in a relationship, we talk with each other and we'd listen. What a stupid relationship it would be if we'd been married all this time and we never talked to each other. And God wants to speak to us. So that's why he's got a relationship with us, because he wants to speak to us. And in the Old Testament, here's some of the ways that God spoke to his people. In Samuel 3, God spoke to Samuel, a child in the temple, and he spoke in an audible voice three times. And Samuel didn't know it was God. And he went to Eli, thank you, and asked Eli. But he didn't quite recognize, but God spoke in an audible voice. In Exodus chapter 3, God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. 1 Kings 19, God spoke to Elijah, not in the earthquake or a great wind, but in a still, small voice. That's Old Testament and some of the ways that God has spoken to his people. Now, I think that most of us still live in the Old Testament. Because most of us, when we talk about hearing from God, expect an audible voice that we hear. Is that the case? Okay. For me, it was for a long time. You know, I wanted to hear God speak to me like in a film.
Everton McLeod.
And you'd have this Charlton Heston type voice, and it'll be God. And I'd know it was God because of the volume and the, it sounds pathetic now, Britishness of the voice. Because, of course, God's British. And I think that's where we stumble, is that we expect to hear that voice. But you see, with the coming of Jesus, things change. And this passage in John chapter 10 speaks, Jesus speaks of being the shepherd, and that his sheep hear his voice and know his voice, and he knows the sheep. So the thing is, and the reason I've got you to stand up and look around, is that we are all unique. Every single one of us is different. And God knows that because he's created that, and Jesus knows that, and because of that, he speaks to us individually in a unique way. So how he speaks to me may not be the same he speaks to you. Does that make any kind of sense at all? Thank you. And because of that, and it's taken me a long while to get my head around this, but it's because he knows us individually. So some of the ways, an audible voice, yes. In my whole life as a Christian, I've only thought I've heard an audible voice of God once. That's a long time, isn't it? Does that make me more or less a Christian? No. But that's the only time I've actually thought I've heard an audible voice. Here's some other ways that he speaks. An impression in your mind. A thought which won't go away. Dreams and visions. Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2 speaks of this. Young men, we've got any young men here? Okay, thank you. Roy's put his hand up. He's the only young man. Young men see visions. Old men will dream dreams. That's what it says. So, it took me a long while to realize I'm a picture person. I see things. And God often speaks to me in pictures and in what I see. It took me a long while to understand it because I just thought they were my own stupid pictures. And I've realized that God actually speaks to me because of my mind in pictures. God speaks supremely through his word, the Bible. So it's important that you read the Bible and know the Bible and understand the Bible, because God will not contradict himself in the Bible. God has also spoken supremely through his son, Jesus. God also speaks through angel visitations, through creation. I don't know about you, but One of the things I love is the sea. I just love the sea. And when I'm close to the sea, or when I'm in water, I just feel, it makes me smile. I love it. And it's God's creation. And there's something about creation. I like snorkeling. I remember going snorkeling once in Egypt, and one of our sons had come with us. And he said, Dad, you get so excited about snorkeling. All the fish are the same. They're all grey. And I used to say, no, son, they're not. And I was getting so excited. He was bored. But I was so excited because each one is different. So I'm not saying he was wrong. It just didn't float his boat. But I was so excited. And God also speaks through the miraculous. And God sometimes will speak through someone else. But the thing is, he wants us to hear and recognize his voice. So, how do we recognize his voice? We have a lot of thoughts and ideas which are our own. We also have an enemy, and I'll come back to him in a minute. But here's the kind of ways that God will speak to you. They will carry a weight of and a sense of confidence, joy, peace, freedom, challenge, and the last one I've written down, which isn't quite so nice, I don't think, but it's great, discipline. If you read Hebrews 12, verse 6, or the whole of Hebrews 12, God disciplines those he loves. I know it's not a very palatable word nowadays, but who likes discipline? Oh, two people love discipline, or giving it or receiving it. Both. The reason God disciplines us, and it says in Hebrews 12, is he disciplines us. Why? Because he loves us. And I know there's some rough edges that need knocking off Everton McLeod, and I need some of God's discipline. And no discipline is necessarily easy at the time, but it produces a harvest of righteousness and godliness. It makes you a better person. I can all see that you love that bit about discipline. Perhaps I'll get Jean to do a sermon on discipline. Because none of us like it, but Oh, what's the best way to do it? When I was growing up, I used to love whittling. Does anyone know what whittling is? Thank you. Taking sticks and getting a knife and just... And what do you get down to when you take all the rubbish off? Not pure wood. And in a sense, that's a picture for me. God just whittling stuff off me and away from me. But learn to distinguish his voice from this next voice, which I'm going to give you. The voice of the enemy. Because this passage says, the thief, meaning the enemy, comes only, this is his main purpose, to steal, to kill, or destroy. The enemy knows the heart of God. The heart of God is for everyone, whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, to come to him. Is that the truth? Is that why Jesus died? No, just for the select church people. Everyone. So you can shout that if you want to, because I think that's quite easy and it's quite confident, you know. So Jesus died for everyone. And the enemy wants to get in the way, so he will do anything he can to steal, destroy, and rob our relationship with God. So what he will do, the enemy, he will whisper things in your ear, and he will condemn you. The Holy Spirit convicts us, but the enemy condemns us. He will tell you that you're not worthy. And you see, the thing is that God speaks to us spirit by spirit. When we become a Christian and give our life to God through Jesus, so we give him something, what does he do? He gives us something. Who does he give us? Thank you. The Holy Spirit. And where is the Holy Spirit? Where? Everywhere, but where? Where does he put it? Where does he deposit it? In us. Oh, right, okay, we've got somewhere. So, every single one of us, you've looked around, you've seen, you have the Holy Spirit, I have the Holy Spirit in me. Correct? Is it dependent on how I feel? Because I think, I'm going to be really honest, I think most of us behave as though it's dependent on how we feel. This is a promise of Almighty God who says, I will give you the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit in you. And it's not dependent on how I feel. It's to do with God's goodness and God's grace. Does that make sense? So now, when I look in the mirror in the morning, because I have a shave every morning, what do I see? I see a beautiful person. That's not that funny. And I'm not being narcissistic. Why do I see a beautiful person? Because God loves me. So if God loves me, I love myself. Yeah, I'm not a finished article. I could lose a few pounds. But I don't care. Because God loves me. I've got the Holy Spirit in me, so I can't be ugly. Does that make sense? You know what? It's been such a transformation for me, because when I was growing up, we used to have a relative who used to come and see us. I won't mention her name because it's being taped. And when she used to leave the house on a Sunday, I've got a brother who's 2 years younger than me. She used to say to me, I've not come to see you. I've come to see your brother. You're the ugly one. But I've realized, you see, I'm not ugly. I'm beautiful. You're beautiful. I'm looking at you. You're beautiful. You're beautiful because of the Holy Spirit in us. So each of us has the Holy Spirit in us. And God speaks to us spirit to spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in us. And because the Holy Spirit is in us, when the enemy comes with his lies and his rubbish, here's a tip, and it's free, and it's what you can do. You say this. I want to shout. Clear off in the name of Jesus. Clear off in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Everton McLeod, but clear off in the name of Jesus. And the enemy flees. Why does the enemy flee? Because he's been defeated on the cross and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He can't touch me. Sorry, I would do a song now, but I'm not... And one of the things I say is, as Christians, those of you that are old enough to remember, Teflon, non-stick. We are non-stick because of Jesus. Anything that the enemy throws at us, some of you young people are thinking, what is he talking about? But Teflon is Teflon coated, we're non-stick. So when the enemy throws his rubbish, it does not stick. because of Jesus and because of the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus comes to restore the broken relationship that we have, that we had with God. The relationship was broken by Adam and Eve listening to the voice of the enemy. The enemy who sowed the seed of doubt. The enemy, the father of lies, who told lies. But Jesus comes to restore our relationship. And I love it. I love it because it's not my human effort. It's because of Jesus. And this passage says that Jesus comes that we might have life, and life in all its fullness. It's a full life. It doesn't mean a perfect life. It doesn't mean a life free from challenge, ups and downs. But it means a fully transformed life because of Jesus. And here's the challenge for all of us. Listen to the right voice. Hear the heart of Jesus speaking to your heart and my heart. And anything else, just tell it to clear off in the name of Jesus. You know that I'm coming into land. This world, particularly some of the rubbish. We are so quick to put people down and to pull people down and to destroy people and ourselves. But Jesus comes that we might have life and life in all its fullness. So I want to encourage every single one of us the best way that I can to hear the voice of God in everything that we do. Speaking to us. I want to encourage us to practice listening to God, to tuning into Him. Just spend time speaking to Him. If anything negative comes, clear off in the name of Jesus. It's not God. One last illustration, and then I will finish. We had a group come to our church once. A group of young people, prophetic young people, and we had an evening meeting, and I was just talking about how at that particular time I'd heard God say to me, "Everton, you don't read the Bible enough, do you?" And I just shared this. And this young whippersnapper of a person said to me, "That isn't the voice of God." I said, "What do you mean it's not the voice of God?" And she said, "Well, if that was God, God would say something like this, 'Everton, spend more time with me.' Can you hear the difference? Because the first one made me feel condemned. And I was trying in my own human effort, reading all sorts of stuff in the Bible which I didn't understand. Yeah, I do need to read the Bible and understand the Bible. But primarily, it's about a relationship. God wants us to spend time with Him. So be open to hearing from God. Be expectant and practice and live life to the full. Amen."